super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, the host of Cheech and Chong's favorite radio show, 42nd Street Pete.
Hey, we're back. I guess it's another holiday right after Valentine's Day. This is the President's Day week, commemorating all the people who have fucked us.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the funny part was, this holiday actually fucked them, you know, over the state workers, because they used to, remember they used to have Washington's birthday separate and Lincoln's birthday separate?
Right.
Then they just made it President's Day and dropped it on a Monday, so basically they fucked them out of a day, which I find amusing. I have this impression that if you work for the state, that means you just can't get employed anywhere else. You're like me, hopelessly unemployable. But, you know, see, I have a purpose, so I wouldn't work for the state anyway.
That's awesome.
It is with great regret that I have to report that porn legend Jamie Gillis passed away yesterday at age 66 from cancer. Jamie was one of the true stars of the industry coming up in the golden era of porn in the 70s and the 80s. He did a lot of big budget films, also did a couple mainstream films like Sylvester Stallone's Nighthawks and Joel Reed's Night of the Zombies. I was fortunate enough to meet Jamie last year when I was hooked up with the Wild Eye Releasing Group, who did a porn night down at the Pioneer Theater when Lee Peterson was managing it. And we got Jamie to come out and we planted him in the audience. And he did a great half-hour Q&A, you know, was a great guy to hang out with. And we actually took him out to the Cinema Wasteland convention last October. And again, you know, he was fine. He was having a good time. He was a lot of fun. And, like, you know, one of my funniest memories of that whole thing was when Art Ettinger had asked him a complete straight technical question, and Jamie, without batting an eye, looked right at him and said, "I have no fucking idea what you're talking about." And that just set the whole, you know, the whole theme for the rest of the show. We had no idea he was sick. He never let on. You know, he looked fine. He was hanging out drinking with us, partying. Never gave us any indication, and this just really comes out of left field. And, you know, a bunch of us, Mike Razzo called me. I called Bob Housechild from Wild Eye, Ken Keish from Cinema Wasteland. We're all just completely fucking shocked over this. You know, we never expected it. Jamie was a good guy, true gentleman, and, you know, a lot of fun to hang out with. And God bless you, Jamie. We're going to miss you. I don't know what else to say. You know, it's just a shock, and we're going to miss him. A true legend is gone, taken away from us once again. And rest in peace, Jamie. You'll be missed.
What was really great about Cinema Wasteland was the fact that he was really floored. You could see he was physically moved. Sometimes tears welled up in his eyes when people were talking to him about his career, because they really cared. And he had no idea that he had so many people out here who loved his work and loved what he was doing and liked him. And it really opened his eyes. As a matter of fact, I remember him saying to me, "You know, this has been quite fun. I've never done anything like this, and I'm ready to do more." And he was really looking forward to moving forward and doing some more of these. I know he had talked to Rob and the guys about maybe helping him get in some more. And you know, meeting him was a lot of fun. And I had a good time because I talked to him about his exploitation stuff, like the Dracula movies and all the stuff
he did.
Yeah. I mean, he loved that stuff. And he was, you know, he wasn't ashamed of his work. He loved it. He loved the exploitation films he did. And he was open and honest about everything. And the thing I loved about him was, man, he was a hoot. You know, hanging out with him at 2 in the morning, I was down there looking for you on Saturday night whenever you disappeared to the van for the party session. And I was looking for you everywhere, and he's making fun of you. He's like, "Well, you know, you're going to find him. Just look underneath the tables," and all this kind of stuff. And we were having a great time, and he was just a really, really funny guy. And I really am. You're right. It was great to have met him. He is a legend, and we are going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, it was just great hanging out with him. It's just so fucking sad, you know. And it's like, you know, like the last year, Marilyn Chambers. It's just like, you know, you see these people's work, and then you wind up actually working in the industry yourself, and you meet them, and you find out how cool they are and shit. And then, unfortunately, you know, shit like this happens. And, you know, like we said, he never let on. He just never let on, you know. And I got to respect the man's privacy if that's what he wanted, but, you know.
Hey, I can send you that picture if you don't have it of you and I with him doing that crazy pose and stuff, and you could pop it up. I'll send that to you.
Put it up on the Jackalope thing.
I will. It'll be up there. Yeah, because you know what?
Wasn't there three of us together?
Yeah, it was me, you, and Jamie.
Yeah, put it up. Fuck it. You know, put it up.
That was a great picture. That we were like, we got to hang out. We got to go down here because we were talking to him and talking to him, and he kept running into him, and we're like, let's get a picture with Jamie here.
Yeah. God, it just sucks. I mean, everybody's shook up. It just this just came out of left field. I just found it inadvertently. I turn on my Hotmail account, and it goes, I see this email from a guy I haven't talked to in a while, and it's like, regret to inform you that Jamie. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
God. Then I immediately called Rob, and he goes, no, it's got to be a ribbon. I says, no, something tells me this is on the up and up. And he goes, well, I do owe him money, and he hasn't called me back. I left a couple messages, and I said, and he did cancel out of that Missouri thing. So, you know, and his exact words were, I think my convention days are over. So,
oh, man, because he was really wanting to do more.
Yeah, I know. I guess I don't know what it was. All I know it was cancer. You know, I don't know what it was. So,
oh, that's sad, man. Well, you know, this show's dedicated to Jamie Gillis.
Yeah. Anyway, I actually saw what I would consider a 5-star good movie. Kudos to the Wolfman and everybody involved in it. It was everything it should have been. It's true to its original. I mean, they said they went back to Kurt Sidemeck's original script or something. Did you tell me that?
Yeah, but they based it on there. And you know, my thing is, I liked it too. My only, like I told you, I just wish they would have. You could tell there's some studio interference in there. I think if the studios would start leaving these movies alone, let the directors do their vision. I think, you know, if you think it's a 5-star now, what would it be then?
Yeah, well, I know they trimmed some shit out. It just looked like that, you know. And I'm starting to think that they actually do this on purpose so they can make you buy the DVD to see what else you missed, you know. But I had to see this because I'm a big fan of the original. I swore if it wasn't good, I was going to go fucking berserk in the theaters. But I actually had somebody with me, so I had to behave. I didn't walk in with my usual 2 cans of beer in my coat pocket and shit, and you know, smoke a joint in the car type stuff. I behaved this time, so. Yeah, it sort of like reminded me of like a Universal Hammer hybrid. You know, it had that Universal mood and the Hammer gothics to go with it, with, you know, the colors and the hues and stuff. And I like Joe Johnston as a director. I really do. I think he does like a lot of what a lot of guys do. I think he's a good fan of this stuff. Because you see Jurassic Park 3?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
Did you ever see a movie called Unknown Island? Dig this. Same premise. Unknown Island. Now, I was a kid. I only had a black and white TV. This was like 19. It might have been 48. I could be wrong. It's very late 40s, but it was in color. It was Richard Denning, Virginia Gray, Barton McLean. There's an island with dinosaurs, men in the suit dinosaurs. But the big boogeyman on the island is this sloth, which is really this nasty ape thing with fangs and shit. And at one point, it chews up one of the men in the suit dinosaurs with like blood gushing out and shit, which might have been, you know, pretty heavy duty for that time period.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Now go back to Park 3, where the boogeyman on that island was that Spikeosaurus fucker, that really big nasty thing that all the other ones were afraid of.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, not that I blame Joe, you know, it was a nice lift and a nice homage.
As long as it was a homage and not a ripoff.
Well, see, the thing is, too, with the Wolfman, the one scene with, you know, with the psychiatrist, I don't want to spoil this for anybody, but, you know, I got to discuss this shit. So there is a scene where he's in a room full of psychiatrists and they're, you know, poo-pooing the whole full moon thing. And then they're all locked in and he turns. Now, I remember reading a book called The Hyde Effect where they have that scene in the book. So maybe Joe read that, too. But, you know, now there's something, you know. I'm big on werewolf shit. I really am.
Me too.
So, Wolfman was my favorite monster when I was a little kid.
Me too.
Yeah.
My second favorite was Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, me too. They're remaking that. You know, so this gives me a little bit of hope that, you know, if they do that, you know, and they're going to fucking try to upgrade it. I don't know why, but it would be nice if they put it back in the same time period of the 50s, you know, when they did it.
Well, yeah. That's one of the things about this. They actually took this farther back than the original movie. Yeah. Made it in way back in the 1800s.
Yeah. And Beneduccio was great. He was really good. You know, it was a good thing. You know, really good. And there's plot twists. If anybody hasn't seen this, I'm not going to wreck it for you. There's some shit that comes out of left field.
That's
cool.
You
know, I'm sure the websites have already fucking spilled it in the magazines and whatever. But, you know, that's what they do. But I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. But, you know.
And I also like the homages to Curse of the Werewolf with the hairstyle that Benicio wears and the running on the rooftops and all that. I mean, you can see that in the trailer, but yeah, that's the kind of stuff that you look at and you go, man, it's really cool that they're kind of not just paying homage to the Universal classics, but also to the others that came before. And also they got the Bobby guy as the dart thrower from American Werewolf in London. I remember telling you about that.
Yeah, you pay more of attention to detail. I just watch it and be entertained. You know, I detail down the fucking road because I caught a couple things that changed that shouldn't have been there. But, you know, like we said, obviously somebody got a scissor to this thing to make it down to like the acceptable running time, you know?
Well, and the thing, you know, I was thinking about this just last night. You know, Blu-ray is a new format, but there's all this crap on it that shouldn't be. And I'm looking at these movies that are out there and I'm going, how the hell do they have all these movies? The Howling is not on Blu-ray. It's ridiculous.
I don't care. I don't have one.
You know what? I want the perfect version of the Howling. And it's like one of my all-time favorite movies. And it's just such a perfect werewolf movie. And I love the werewolves in that movie. I've never seen a werewolf I loved more than that movie.
Yeah, that, you know what else was close to that too? Dog Soldiers.
I do have that on Blu-ray. They did release that, and it's cheap.
Yeah, I know. It ain't as cheap as the $5 I paid for the regular version.
It's like $9. I was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Well, this was a Borders deal. On one rack, it was $19.95. On another rack, it was $5. I'm like, what's the difference? And there wasn't any, so I took it.
That's a Borders for you right there.
Yeah, they're fucked up. Another bunch is probably going to go out of business real quick, too.
I got to talk about another movie, too. I don't know if you've watched this one, Black Dynamite.
Oh, that's coming out this week, isn't it?
It's out. It's already out. It came out last week.
That's the Blaxploitation send-up.
I mean,
I just saw a trailer on it because I got this crappy wrestling on it. You know, they're big on it's Spike. They're big on pushing shit like that.
In just 48 hours, I've watched that sucker probably 3 times. I love that movie.
Well, you got a big thing for the whole Blaxploitation thing anyway.
You know I do. I love all that stuff. And his sidekick is like an emulation of Rudy Ray Moore, who, you know, I love. And it's just, it's an amazing movie because they don't make fun of the genre. They embrace it and basically have fun with it. And it's really a more of an homage to the classics than it is a send-up. It's really well done. It's really fun. I know you'd love it.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up. I haven't had a chance. Weather's been too shitty. I don't feel like going out. I just picked up a movie tonight that I'm going to probably put out. The Plumber and the Nympho.
Oh, awesome.
Another fine storefront fucking feature that I just, for some reason, bid on eBay and got it for the right price. So, fuck it.
That's awesome.
Oh, you know, the good people at Wild Eye Releasing, Rob and Keith, had given me 2 copies of Goth Kill to give out. And we never got around to it because we're always getting involved in other insane shit. So I got 2 copies. The first 2 people who email me the name of the actor who played Lawrence Talbert's father in the original 1940 whatever Wolfman, the first 2 people that email me the actor's name who played Sir Talbert at 40deuce spelled out at hotmail.com will get a copy of Goth Kill. The first 2 people. I'll throw you one better. If anybody can give me the name of the actress who played the gypsy in the original Wolfman, I'll send you something fucking neat because I like to see. And don't go on the IMDb, motherfuckers. Try to think who it is, you know? People my age would know. Not that you'd be able to pronounce it. There's a hint. But yeah, 40deuce@hotmail.com, spelled out.
1941 was the production year, and I'll tell you how I know. I love that year because of that movie so much that I even have a quarter. As a kid, I found a 1941 quarter, and I kept it all these years because of the Wolfman. Also, American Werewolf in London, I remember the weirdest details. You were talking about details. August 21st, 1981, it was a full moon, and they had the original screening. They had a midnight premiere for it, and let me tell you, that was a lot of fun, American Werewolf in London. I still have the ticket stub for that and The Howling, and back then, they didn't even print the names on them, so I'd have to write the names on the tickets as to what it was that I was keeping.
Yeah, they were fun movies. They were a lot of fun movies.
I remember all that stuff, Frankenstein. That same year, for some reason, they re-released Frankenstein 3D, Andy Warhol, and yeah, I went and watched that sucker in 3D at the same theater. It was this neat little theater right down here, man. It was like I told you before, that's like the indoor drive-in, and it was our version of the Grindhouse. And it was pretty freaky at times. We had people that would scream stuff at the screen and jump off the balcony and get crazy, and I had rats taking my nachos away. I had all kinds of good stuff going on there.
Yeah, I was thinking of some, you know, I didn't get into that 100, you know, top whatever yet because I've just, like, been too fucking busy. But I remember a couple double bills I saw, early double bills. One of them was Horrors of Spider Island and The Fiendish Ghouls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think you can get Horror. You know, I think you can get them both. Now, wait a minute. Did Image go out of business or did they get sold?
I don't think they're out of business. I still see them releasing stuff.
These may be rare because Fiendish Ghouls was actually cool. Actually, the original title was The Flesh and the Fiends. And it's a very well-made movie about Burke and Hare. they sort of trimmed it down a little bit for our release and put it out as The Fiendish Ghouls. I believe the European version had some nudity in it. And this is like, I think, 64 or something. So, fuck, we weren't ready for that, right? And Horrors of Spider Island was actually another retitled one called It's Hot in Paradise. And it's this West German flick. And I think the only name, for lack of better words, is Alex the Arsies in it. And these chicks crash land on this island and there's fucking spider that kills somebody. And one guy grows into the spider man face or some shit. But they're fun. They're black and white. They were from Pacemaker. I remember Pacemaker.
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that shit. Yeah, because it was the same thing. Okay, another one. Bloody Pit of Horror and Terror Creatures from the Grave.
There you go.
There you go. Mickey Hargitay torturing people as the Crimson Executioner. That was like 66 maybe, I think.
Though as a kid, when I went and saw that, I thought he was the Phantom. You remember the Phantom, the original?
Yeah,
the old superhero. He looked just like him. I was like, holy cow, they've got the Phantom in here.
How the fuck did you go see that? That must have been on a re-release or something, because I saw that. I was a kid.
We played that stuff at our drive-ins all the time.
Okay, yeah, because the whole thing was, I was at a kiddie matinee, and that was the main feature after the kiddie matinee, that double feature. So I sort of sat in the back in the shadows, and nobody saw me, and I caught that. And that was like my first exposure to Eurotrash.
I got to tell you something. Here we had, like, at our driving, we had a triple bill. We had The Howling, Halloween 2, and Mad Doctor of Blood Island. Now, you know Mad Doctor of Blood Island was made way back in, what, the late...
I'm trying to fucking think. You know, it may have been 67.
Yeah, see, and then it got here around 70. Well, it was still playing in 81. Yeah,
that was before nobody... They didn't have... That was right before video.
Right, so they would actually be able to replay these movies. They had replay value, so they'd bring them back every few years, and sometimes they just keep hold of them, and like a movie like that, they probably just had sitting in a vault, didn't even tell the people they were playing it, and just threw it on there for the triple feature.
Yeah, and then, of course, the famous I Drink Your Blood, Eat Your Skin.
Oh, yeah, that played here.
Yeah. I'm surprised. You know, I'm surprised that, when Grindhouse did that, they didn't throw I Eat Your Skin on it because it's public domain. Nobody gives a shit.
You know, I absolutely love I Drink Your Blood. There's something about that movie I think is a classic.
It's completely sleazy.
I love everything about it. So it's really cool that we got to, like, hang with Lynn Lowry because, man, she's like, that's really cool. And weird thing, I ordered that movie when they first put it out. They put that limited edition, that real limited, like, 1,500 pieces out. And I got that sucker, and I opened it up, and I was so surprised because everyone in the cast, the director, everybody autographed it. The whole thing is full of autographs on the inside.
Mine wasn't like that. I don't know where I got it from.
And then the other thing, I got Last House on Dead End Street. They put out a double disc of that.
The barrel one nobody has anymore.
Yeah, and same thing with that. I mean, I've got this beautiful, pristine quality DVD of this, two disc, and I open it up, and it's all autographed by everybody.
Oh, in that vein, this is something new. There's another convention that's going to be on the East Coast. And actually, the East Coast needs some new blood, some new ideas, some new something, because you got three conventions that basically I don't even want to fucking get into anymore. They all suck. I can't take it anymore. But this guy is actually running this thing in a grindhouse, a big old movie theater in Jersey City. The name of the convention is Saturday Nightmares. I think you go to SaturdayNightmares.com. George Romero was going to be there. It's going to be 3 days. They're running, I think, Creepshow and Dawn of the Dead on the big screen.
Oh, cool.
And then Roy Frumke's Document of the Dead, digitally restored. I don't think anybody really give a fuck. But, that's the deal. I think they're going to have vendors and seminars and talks and shit. So I'm pretty sure the website's SaturdayNightmares.com. And I reached out to the promoter. We already got back to me. And we're going to try to... set something up maybe to air the weekend before his convention with, people that are going to be involved in shit. So that should be cool. Because like I say, this area needs, a shot in the arm or a kick in the ass, whatever.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. And unfortunately in that same note, there was a guy I had met and hung out with early on in the convention circuit. His name was Bobby Slash. He had a band. He was like a Ramones type guy. One of his band was Asylum 66. And, he was a pretty cool guy with some pretty funny shit he did. Like, Diane Thorne almost cut his hand off during a stage act one time we were doing. But unfortunately, last week he passed away. I don't know the whole story. I had heard that he had heart problems or something like that. But, God bless you, Bobby Slash. Rest in peace. You were a cool guy. We're going to miss you. So,
man, I'm sorry to hear that. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. These guys are like either my age or younger, and it's just it's sad. Yeah, Bobby was a piece. Yeah, he was a good musician, too. They had a couple cool bands, you know. He had a lot of energy. That's the one thing good about the internet is you find out about this stuff, but it's also a double-edged sword because sometimes you don't want to find out. You know, it's like anything else. That's why I used to – it was a love-hate thing with the Psychotronic video guy because they always had Never to Be Forgotten. You're like, holy fuck, all these people died within the space of like 6 months or so.
Yeah, because Michael Weldon really made sure we knew what was going on.
Yeah. You know, and it's sad because most of the people that we grew up watching, you know, they're no longer here. And, honest to God, there is no new crop. I mean, you know, we're seeing it now with, you know, the guys from the 80s, but there is no new crop. There really isn't.
True.
You know, there's nobody up there, but fuck, I digress.
Jackalope 105 FM. It's time to rock your routine. Music that matters and not the same old talk. It's time for real variety. It's time for Jackalope 105 FM. The real alternative. Rock your routine. Jackalope105FM.com.
Hey, you. With the bag, come here. On 42nd Street, Pete. What do you got, man? That cheap porn? This multi-hour crap? Brother, you need to go to AlternativeCinema.com for all your grindhouse needs. You can get Shockorama titles for your horror fix. You can get Seduction Cinema if you like Misty Monday, Rube the Rocket, Darien Kane, and others. You can go to the Secret Key Motion Pictures for your TNA. Then you can go to After Hours Cinema for the films of Joe Sarno, Sean Costello, Nick Phillips, Phil Prince, and the 42nd Street Pete line of 8mm Madness. Plus Blue Underground, Synapse, Halo, and other fine grindhouse titles. Only at AlternativeCinema.com. Act now and get free shipping in the U.S. and reduced shipping to Canada. That's at AlternativeCinema.com. Tell them 42P sent you.
Watch out, mister. Here comes the twister.
This is Rudy Ray Moore.
Yes, I'm the Human Tornado. I chain down thunder and handcuff lightning. I'm so damn strong, it's sometimes frightening. I grabbed a star traveling a million miles a minute and slowed it down to the state speed limit. Yes, I'm the Human Tornado. Spinning, grinning, and sinning. I used an earthquake to mix my milkshake. I eat an avalanche when I want ice cream. I punched a hurricane and made it a breeze. I swallowed an iceberg and didn't freeze. The Human Tornado. Flinging cash and talking trash. Free me, delayed, relayed, mislaid, and parlayed. Jumped, thumped, bumped, and mugwumped. The Human Tornado. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without a parent or a note from your jailer.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Well, I'm working on the church. I performed my first miracle the other day. I made a deaf man blind. So I'm trying anyway. Marcia was saying, I don't buy this, though. I have to be celibate to be a minister?
Heck no.
I don't? Okay.
That's your own religion. You can make your own rules.
Well, I can't. Okay, because I took this thing. I bought these pills in an adult bookstore. They're called Resurrection. It says the ultimate in sexual enhancement for men. So I figured, you know something? I haven't had a boner in a while, so I took one today, and I actually got a boner. Masturbation is okay in my church. As long as you don't do it on the floor in my church, though. You know, then it's a fucking problem, but, you know. But if you just do an internet thing, you would want to buy the 42nd Street Pete squeegee for your screen, your computer screen, for those, you know, little accidents that sometimes happen. You know, you got a little squeegee there, you know, with a little bug scratcher on it and stuff like that. And, you know, your keyboard splash guard. So you can get these at 42ndstreetbeat.com. Now I have to go off on something that pissed me off. This is the shit list.
Cool.
I have to make this a priority because it is that fucking stupid. Sarah Palin. I have to get rid of her. I swear. This can't go on. I mean, you know, now she's going after Family Guy. Or is that quote? This was like a kick in the gut to us. Because you have a Down syndrome child. You know, maybe you would have realized something that, like myself, I consider myself a public figure, and you're, you know, open to scorn as I am. So there's no reason why I shouldn't scorn you, because it is unfortunate you have a Down syndrome child. But let's face it, you got the stupid gene. All right? You got the stupid gene. You're writing shit on your fucking hand. You can't remember to do speeches. And this is a woman who wants to be the leader of the free world. Ho, 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 ho. And now you're going after a cartoon because you're insulted.
Well, you know, that's the thing that kills me. I'm like, how the hell are you going to be insulted by a cartoon? Number one. Number two, has anyone actually listened to these speeches? I love the fact that they used to have William Shatner reading these speeches. And of course, they've stopped doing that now because, you know, you can't do anything fun in this country anymore without people overreacting. I mean, I'm still getting hate mail from just taking up for animals on my show against Sarah Palin. I'm still getting hate mail. I got a death threat last week. It was awesome. I'm like, this is wonderful. So these people that you, everything you say about her, they take politically. And I said clearly on my show, this is not about politics. Listen to this. Listen to this. Screw the political correctness that some would expect people to try to adhere to. This is Sarah Palin, in her own words, talking about her friend Mike Reagan. Her words were, once again, screw the political correctness that some would expect people to try to adhere to. It's crazy. She attacks Family Guy, a TV show known for its non-politically correct humor and satire, for being not PC. And then it gets even deeper. And listen to this. Sarah also vigorously defended political ally Rush Limbaugh's use of the word retard during her interview with Chris Wallace by saying the outspoken radio host was engaging in satire. Yet Family Guy wasn't? At least they had an actual actress, Andrea Fay, with Down syndrome playing the part, who said that she was amused by the episode. Andrea went on to say that her parents raised her to have a sense of humor, live a normal life, and her mom did not carry her around under her arm like a loaf of French bread the way former Governor Palin carries her son looking for sympathy and votes. When it comes from me, this is not about her politics. It couldn't possibly be, because you know why? She's not a politician anymore. This is about her being a crazy, frenzied, attention-grabbing media freak. I mean, seriously, she wants to be on TV 24/7. She wants to get her face in the news as much as possible. And every time you open your mouth around here, people accuse you of being political. Well, we can't be political about her because she's not a politician.
She's a fucking douchebag. She's just fucking trailer trash. That's all. Is she married? Did she have a husband? Well, obviously, somebody fucked her to get that brutal, retarded kids or whatever. Oh, no, you can't say retard anymore. I'm sorry. Those gifted children that she spit out. Rumor has it that her husband was last seen running in terror because him and Sarah early on went on a deer hunting exhibition, and she bagged a moose, a male moose, and she ripped off the moose's penis, which automatically froze, and she used it as a strap on to sodomize her husband to let him know who was going to be boss in the household. So,
Lord,
why you don't see him? And that poor kid Levi that knocked up her daughter, you know? What happened to him? The minute she was out of the presidential spotlight, he booked. Smart move, because if she had gotten in as vice president, he would have been fucked. He couldn't have gone nowhere.
Well, did you notice also that now all her daughter's doing is all these public service announcements talking about abstinence and how you've got to stay pure and you can't have sex and all that?
Give me a fucking break. That's why these fucking Christians are so pent up, because they have a deadly buildup of poisonous semen. That's what it is. All the males. The women, forget about it. It's like, you know... the whole thing just boggles me with these fucking people. It really does. The rapture. Yeah, bring about the end of the world and Jesus will swoop down and just scoop you up like nothing ever happened. Give me a fucking break.
Well, I'd like to say that, you know, my thought is, what's the point of talking about abstinence now and telling people not to have sex now? That's kind of like, dude, I don't think you're a virgin anymore because you got a baby and I don't think its name is Jesus.
No, I'm actually to the point where I want to go out and fuck somebody now. I'm you know, just at a point, just out of spite.
That's awesome.
I wasn't really trying, but, you know, it's too much work on my part. But, you know, what provides endless entertainment and reading for Sarah Palin?
What's that?
A stop sign.
I don't get political, and I wasn't even speaking it up from a political standpoint, but everyone seems to think I've got a problem with politics, and it has nothing to do, and it's the same with you.
So, you know what she has in common with the Alaskan hockey team?
Huh.
They both changed their underwear after the second period. What? I heard, this is a good story.
No, I don't think
they
I did.
It was her, the Pope, and a Cub Scout.
Huh.
And there was only three chutes and four people. So pilot senses there's trouble, and all of a sudden he goes, this plane ain't going to make it. He goes, I'm bailing. There's only three chutes. I'm taking one, leaving two, you know, with the Pope, Sarah Palin, and the Cub Scout. Sarah Palin turns around to the Cub Scout, and she goes, listen, I'm the only hope of the free world. I'm the lead America to the promised land. I have to live. And she grabs the Cub Scouts. Shoot, bails out. So the Pope turns to the Cub Scout and goes, "My son, I have led a long and, you know, pious life. You take the shoot, you can go." And the Cub Scout goes, "Don't worry about it, Father. We both can go. The world's smartest woman just jumped out of my backpack." I bashed them all. They all suck.
That's right.
They don't deserve my support. None of them do. They make the fucking mob look fucking honest. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they promise everything, deliver nothing. Things just get fucking progressively worse. So, yeah, both parties suck. Obama sucks. And you know something? I wanted Corazine out of New Jersey, so I voted in Christie, and he's probably going to suck just as bib. Oh, I don't know. You know, certain things just get under my fucking skin, and this is one of them, especially in Jersey. Now, I'm going to read you something. It's really disturbing. This guy was supposedly an aspiring lawyer, a college senior, intern, the whole bit, and his name was Shamid, whatever the fuck it, I can't pronounce this fucking Muslim, Abdur Rahim. He had a fight with his girlfriend. He kidnapped the couple's three-month-old daughter from an apartment, almost running over the grandmother, or actually running into the grandmother, and supposedly threw the baby over the bridge into the river. Now, this is where I lose my shit with this crap, because it's another, you know, low-life motherfucker who's violent, has a history of fucking violence, violated a restraining order, and now, you know, they're assuming this is real. They're taking it as real. I'm hoping it's not, but this has been going on for 2 days, and this piece of shit would throw a three-month-old baby over a bridge into the icy fucking Raritan River. I don't fucking get it. I don't understand why these people are even around. I don't understand what makes people do fucked up shit like that, and we get ostracized for watching horror movies.
Oh, I know. And this guy's probably like a big...
He's going to be a lawyer. He was going to be a lawyer. Can you imagine a lawyer with a fucking temper like this? Supposedly this guy... it was something else. He's ordered held in lieu of $700,000 bail.
Well, isn't this the deal where the girl had reported him a couple of times and no one would listen?
Yeah. That's what happens. You know, that's why a restraining order is fucking bullshit. But I mean, isn't this shit, you take this out on a fucking child, your own child, you kill it? What the fuck? You know, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. It's fucked up.
Yeah, that's why I like it animals really more. I'm more.
Yeah, I know. I get to that fucking point.
I'm like, but, you know, I think I'll stick with the animals, man.
There are good people. You know, there are good people out there.
Yeah.
I got a shout out to somebody out in Long Island. I don't even know what the fuck. You ever been to Long Island? You go to Long Island to that haunted asylum thing, don't you?
Yeah, once in a while. Uh huh.
Is it nice out there?
I like Long Island. I like New Jersey. I like New York, man. I go to Upper New York to the Buffalo Central Terminal. I've been up there to the Rolling Hills Asylum up there. Man, there's a lot of really cool stuff up there, too. I like the whole area.
But I got to give a shout out to someone I will refer to as Kiddo in Freeport, New York, was probably listening, and, you know, just, you know, things have happened that have not made her life, you know, a lot of fun lately, but she'll be okay. She just has to believe in herself and believe in other people that want to help her out and shit, and, you know, shit gets done. So shout out to Kiddo in Freeport, New York.
That's cool. Thanks to Ida, because she's out there really promoting, and she listens to all the shows, man. It's really awesome. She came in, was a big fan of 42nd Street Pete, started listening to all the Jackalope shows, and now she's out there just doing a heck of a job helping us out, promoting everything, and thanks a lot to Ida.
Oh, yeah, that's who I saw the Wolfman with. We went out to see the Wolfman, because she's from around here, out in West Caldwell and shit, so, you know.
Ah, that's cool. I didn't know that.
No, because I met her, I turned her on to the whole, you know, network anyway.
You sure did.
Yeah, so then she's like, big into this promoting stuff, so, you know, she told everybody, but yeah.
I love it.
But she's got a whole thing, too, because she sells jewelry and stuff on Etsy, whatever Etsy is, I can't remember, Etsy. I think her thing is Arts Farm, if I remember right.
It's intermission. Rise and stretch time. Time to refresh yourself and visit our snack bar. Got a yen for hot popcorn? Your favorite soft drinks are sparkling cold. The juicy Frank sizzling hot. There's delicious coffee, freshly brewed, and all kinds of ice cream and candy to tempt you. Showtime will be announced loud and clear to get you back to your car in time. So stretch your legs. Come to the snack bar now.
Hey, man, listen. They strapped me into this electric chair, And this cat comes up to me and said, do you want to live? So you know what I told him. Seems all I have to do is volunteer for this medical experiment. So of course I jumped at it, you know, because I'm innocent. And all I need is a little time to prove it. So they took me to this doctor's house. And when I wake up on the table, attached to my body is a head of a white dude. And he's looking at me eyeball to eyeball. So I checked him out. Man, this is one of the funniest pictures that you ever want to see. We chase chicks. We catch a few. We get chased by the fuzz. If you want to see one of the funniest pictures in the world, you got to see The Thing with Two Heads with Ray Milland and me, Rosie Greer. The Thing with Two Heads. Dig it.
Jackalope 105 FM.
We should have like a segment, Road to Cinema Wasteland. Like, you know, they have the Road to WrestleMania and the Road to this and the Road to that.
We're supposed to be doing a Miss Grindhouse contest.
Yeah, I know.
No, we're supposed to be doing it here on the show. Remember, we're supposed to work out some kind of... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make some kind of really cool page. When you go to Pete's page, it's going to be linked there. It says the Miss Grindhouse contest. It's going to be all over Jackalope. So that way people can just click. They'll go to their own webpage. They'll be able to submit their pictures. It'll go straight to you.
And where will we have this? I got not something around my roach.
Golly, you're beating the hell out of something over there.
No, I dropped my ashtray. I can't find my roach. God damn it.
It's probably going to set the whole place on fire, man. Watch yourself.
Can't fucking have that. I already did something like that once. Jeez. Reading a fucking newspaper with a candle and it went up. That was pretty funny. Yeah. Right, stupid shit. Not a fucking lighter don't work. Mother, you know, what is this tonight? There's a lot of shit I just... When Liquidators closed, there's a lot of shit I just grabbed. You know?
It's like, let me have it.
Yeah, I need it. I got piles of shit I haven't even fucking cracked open yet. I mean, I've already seen the movie somewhere in my life, but, you know, I haven't seen what I have in my hand.
You gotta bust that stuff open sometime, man.
Yeah, how much time do you got a day, though, you know? Anybody listening who's going the wasteland, Friday night would be the night to hit me, because it's probably going to be a lot of onesies and twosies again, because I've been, like, storing up shit, so... I got a whole bunch of karate shit.
That's what I want, man.
Crash Masters, Video Asia, some other shitball company. I don't know.
Yeah, Video Asia is okay, but they piss you off sometimes because they take just really bad, like, second or third generation VHS dubs and dump them on DVD, and it really pisses you off.
Yeah, I know. I get Shanghai Joe and Blood of the Dragon.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, you got that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both... It's all VHS. Now, here's the fucked up part. Those are the last two movies I saw at the Embassy Theater before I gave up going there because the neighborhood was so bad. And I think they closed about a month after that.
Wow. And the thing is, those are good movies. I wish they would have at least got them from a Laserdisc print or something.
I don't think there was a Laserdisc print. Somebody's got to have this shit. You know, it's just a question of, you know, you'd think, because even though Kinski's in it for the minuscule time that he's in it, that somebody would have jumped on it. But, you know, what the fuck? You know, they even spelled Klaus Kinski's name wrong on the box.
Jeez.
Yeah, I got Witchfinder General. I never even played the damn thing. I don't know if it's any different than the one they just released over here, and I got that too.
Oh, that's cool.
I have to be in the mood for that, because that movie's really fucking depressing.
It's a long one too.
Oh fuck, Zombie Diaries. Stay away from that.
I think I already got it. Yeah,
$5. I'm selling it for.
It was okay. I mean, I still kind of liked it better than I did the Diary of the Dead.
Does he have another one out now?
Survival of the Dead or something. I don't know. We need to get George back into feature filmmaking, get him away from the zombies again, because he's made some amazing stuff. It just seems
we're just going to say that. The whole thing is, you know, he has. You know, you go to Crazies, you go Martin, you go Knight Riders, but it's like all these people want to see is fucking zombie shit, you know?
Yeah, it's very disheartening, because Creepshow, one of my very favorite movies ever. I mean, let's look at all the stuff he's done. He's done some really strange, cool stuff. And I even have Bruiser. I just picked that one up not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I think that's pretty cool. It's underrated. I mean, the guy's got a talent, you know, and he's kind of wasting it. And a lot of people now are bashing Land of the Dead. And I'm like, hold on a minute. The same people that are praising Diary of the Dead are bashing Land of the Dead, and I'm like, Land of the Dead's a much better movie. First of all, it's a real movie. It's actually made like a movie.
Well, you know something? With all due respect to Cloverfield, you unleashed that fucking beast. And, you know, everybody, you know, that's what's bad. There is, you're not breaking any ground. There is no new ground to be broken. We've hit the fucking dead end. You got to come up with something or stir up the genre, but don't make gay fucking werewolves and, you know, vampires that, you know, are Faye and all this other shit. You know, you're pissing on the fucking genre. That's why I like the whole rawness of the Wolfman to, like, you know, because we're getting close to the end of the hour to round that whole thing out, because there's nothing sexy about the Wolfman. He's a fucking beast. He tears fucking people apart. You're not going to want to fuck him. And that's it, you know?
Well,
that's a monster. That's the whole thing. That's what a monster's supposed to do. Not, you know, nibble your nipples and stuff, things like that. He tears them the fuck off.
Some girls out there might dig the werewolf, though. The whole Wolfman thing.
Well, I'm a werewolf, you know?
They don't live in coffins or appear only at night or run for fear of the light. They wait and watch and strike without warning. There is no place to hide when the dead are alive. National General Pictures presents The Dead Are Alive, starring Samantha Egger, Alex Cord, and John Marley. Victims, violence, vengeance. Behind eyes of fire, terror strikes to revenge desire. And there is no place to hide when the dead are alive. In color, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Plus, another spine-chilling hit. The Boy Who Cried Werewolf. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Yeah, so, you know, don't forget, you know, growing up, that's all you had, the Wolfman, that was it. But then they had these little minor things going on. Like, they had the Cry of the Werewolf, where you basically didn't see a werewolf till, like, the last 2 minutes of the film.
Oh, God, that used to make you furious as a kid.
Yeah. And then, oh, you know what was a good one? The Return of the Vampire one, the one with Lugosi.
Yeah, I like that one.
That had a good werewolf.
I even liked it. I was a teenage werewolf with Michael Landon. I even liked that one.
That was good. And then you had the Columbia one, the werewolf.
I liked that one, too. Yeah.
That was good.
Well, you know which one a lot of people don't realize that's really good? Is I actually liked The Beast Must Die.
That was that... shit, was that the fucking one with the black werewolf?
Yeah, it had Peter Cushing, and it was a really cool movie.
Yeah.
It was ahead of its time, and I thought, it was basically an Agatha Christie. It was like her, you know, her story, Ten Little Indians or whatever, but they did it with a werewolf, and I liked that idea. And then there was that weird, obscure one, you know, they had Curse of the Werewolf, then they had that one, no one's hardly ever seen the Hammer movie, that Legend of the Werewolf. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I talk about that, and you could tell someone who really knows about horror, when you talk about stuff like that, and they look at you like they're completely dumbfounded. But that was a pretty cool little movie, too.
That disappeared through the cracks.
It did.
I remember that. That was out in... the makeup was almost like Oliver Reed in Curse of the Werewolf.
Yes, it looked a lot like it. It was like at 75, 76, it played around here in the drive-ins.
Yeah, then it was on a real obscure video label. It was like one of those hard cases. It was the same people that put up Werewolves on Wheels. So there's another fucking winner for you.
I like it. I have that movie poster, dude.
Poster was cool. That's probably the best thing about the movie.
That and the trailer. Yeah. And then the werewolves were in like, what, 15 minutes?
Yeah. Here's another one close. Remember the Catman of Paris?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 1944 or something like that. Oh, we're really fucking digressing.
Well, what'd you think about the cat people? I mean, that the remake was pretty weird.
Yeah, the remake was weird. The original, that was all the Val Lewton stuff. I got that box set. That was really moody and atmospheric and shit. And, you know, that chick was pretty hot for the day, you know?
All I know is I got real tired of seeing her walk around naked with
her. Oh, Natasha Kinski?
Yeah, I was getting mad. And, you know, I'd seen her before with Christopher Lee, To the Devil, a Daughter.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But I was like, you know, she did fine in the part, and man, Malcolm was perfect, but as you're watching it, you're kind of going, it had a cool atmosphere, it had good effects, it had everything going for it, but she almost kind of tanked the movie because she was so emotionless, just kind of cardboard in that one.
Yeah.
All she could do is walk around, and every other scene, she like had her crank hanging out.
Considering how animated her dad was.
Yeah, but you're right, we have gone way off topic, but it's cool because we're talking about cool transformation movies, and that's the thing that I love, is those old movies had the best transformations ever.
Even though, you know, people don't understand that that's all we had. They go, we got all this computer. Fuck computer generated shit, because anybody can do that. You know, it just comes down to that. If you can work a computer, you can probably do it. I can't do it, so what the fuck? But, you know, I don't even pretend to do it.
You know, they can do all they want. They can bring out the biggest goddamn computer in the world, but none of it's going to touch The Thing. None of it's going to touch The Howling. None of it's going to touch American Werewolf in London. The stuff.
It certainly fucked The Mummy, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. See, that's the whole thing. You know, that was the whole weird thing with the Universal, because the original was Karloff, and it was a whole different fucking movie.
Right, right. And then they brought
in that
other
guy. Segued into Karis, you know?
Right, Karis.
Karis.
Yeah, yeah.
With Tom Tyler was the first one. Then it was Chaney.
Yeah, I loved him.
But wasn't it one rumored that one of them wasn't Chaney or something? Or
I don't know, but I liked it. I didn't care. Hell, yeah, as a kid, I loved that stuff.
Yeah, because one of them was basically made up of scenes from the first three, if I remember.
Yeah, it was like flashbacks.
Yeah.
Then they had flashbacks inside of a flashback.
Yeah, it was all good shit, but you know, here it is. This guy's shuffling, got one arm, and nobody can get away from the fucker.
It's kind of like Christopher Lee in Dracula, because he stands there and looks at him with his red eyes going. They start taking off running across the moors, and all of a sudden he's over at the other side. You don't know how.
He's fast.
He's the Flash.
Chris was good in his day.
Oh, he's still good. Are you kidding? He's amazing.
All right, well, now that we've, you know, segued into different things with our whole, like, lycanthropy thing and things like that, next week we're going to try something different. I'm not going to say what it is because I haven't been contacted back yet, but we're going to try to do something a little bit different here, and we've had one of these people on before, so if it works, it should be pretty interesting. And if anybody's out, I know it's probably around 10 o'clock Saturday night or 11 o'clock, but Victor Bonacor and the Chainsaw Kiss Gang with Ruby LaRocque and them, they're down at the Crash Bar in Clifton trying to raise some money for Blood Wings, and they got four bands and stuff. So if you're in the Jersey area and you just want to swing over, it's $8 to get in, and half that money goes toward the movie. So you get to see four bands, and I'll probably be hanging out for a while. So this is 42nd Street Pete saying stay sick.
42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Oh, wah, ah, ah, ah. Oh, wah, ah, ah, ah. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up. Come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
Two, three, four.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up. Come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die. Here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here. Too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I wanna sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Satan. One more time, mother. hates me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit.
What you gotta do?
People equal shit.
I'm not afraid of you.
People equal shit.
Everything you'll ever be.
People equal shit.